What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, March 1st, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the best hair in the business, Fran Mirabella III.
How's it going, Greg? What's up, best friends?
How tired are you from busting your buns on twitch.tv/FM3_?
Thank you, Greg. Yes, you can find me there. Man, I'm tired. I played some more Anthem last night.
Yeah.
Doing an Anthem
the
review.
The Franthem.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this. So you've done two reviews now. One on Gamescast, the next on Gamescast, and now you're doing your own video review of Anthem.
Yes.
Just it's say game of the year and walk away, man.
That is the whole thing, but no. It's like 25 minutes long. It's actually good. A week later, they've done some patches, so I'm excited to get some opinion out there a week later.
Are you still excited to be playing it?
I feel like excited is not the right word anymore, because I was excited to try it for the first time, and now it's like I'm still... I'm excited to see where it goes.
Sure, of course.
And get the new content, but excited to play it every day. Like, I'm max level, and that's what we go through in these games.
Look, I'm talking to you over here. My apologies. You know?
Brag.
Yeah. Of course, you can catch Fran, Andrea, myself, Andy, all of us screaming at each other and arguing about our Anthem opinions on the Kinda Funny Gamescast, available right now, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. If you don't have any bucks to toss our way, it'll be up next week on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and MP3 services on Monday. A great follow-up discussion now that we've all had time to get in
there. It was really
good. Get on the stick. As they say. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for that goddamn amazing, beautiful bastard called The Division 2, I'd be putting more hours into that. But I digress. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Bronze members get to sit in questions, bad comments, bad PSN names, but good comments too. Everything else on the video game squad up. You know how it works. It's Friday. I'm just wearing the ugly Portillo sweatshirt and embracing it. You know what I mean?
Chicago
We're
dog,
here.
Baby.
We made it. Barrett's taking out a McGriddle and three bites over there. It's gross. If you want to be part of, or you did all that stuff. And then so if you want to watch the show live, you can see us as we record it on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. And tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and roosterteeth.com, as well as everybody listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Let's start with a big one, Fran Mirabella. It's officially March, which means we are 29 days away from the Kinda Funny World Tour rolling into Kansas City, Missouri. We've talked about that before. You can go to kindafunny.com/events. However, today we have more news about it. We've talked about the fact that we're going there. The meet and greet, the Kinda Funny World Tour stop, free. You can come to the Flying Saucer Emporium Draft House, hang out with us. Don't worry about that. Bring money to buy beer, but not to get through the door. It doesn't cost you anything. However, today we're confirming everything we're doing at Planet Comic Con, which is one of the things that's happening when we go in there, right? And it's not a bunch of little stuff. Instead, it goes like this. I will be doing a one-on-one panel with WWE superstar Mick Foley. Mankind himself. Yeah. A hero of mine growing up, let
Mr.
alone
Sacco
to today.
Too?
Oh, I'll have Mr. Sacco if he doesn't.
Oh, no.
I'll bust out Mr. Sacco if he doesn't. Don't worry about that. Then... in a sentence I never thought I would ever say, Fran Mirabella, Nick Scarpino will do a one-on-one panel with Henry Winkler.
Wow.
Fonzie, the acting teacher from Barry. I mean, Henry Winkler's
Arrested
Henry Winkler.
Development,
yeah,
man. That's
yeah. Waterboy, the coach. Like it's Henry Winkler, a national treasure. I'm kind of embarrassed that, or not embarrassed, jealous that Nick gets to do it, not me.
I can't not think of him as Barry in Arrested Development. I think it's Barry, right? Yeah. So
yeah,
fun.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
lawyer.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
the
yeah,
lawyer.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
hilarious.
Such and then, Fran. My life will never be the same. The final panel, we're doing a Kinda Funny panel. That's at the end, and it's just going to be
like, don't worry about that.
That's just us fucking around. The panel before that, Fran, is the Superman panel of the year. It's me moderating. On the panel with me, Dean Cain, Superman from Lois and Clark, and then from Smallville, Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and Tom Welling. Clark Kent himself. I've never met Tom Welling. I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
That's
I will try to play it cool, but I might hug him real tight. And I think he can beat me up. He still seems like he's in shape.
You already got your Superman shirt picked out?
No. Yeah. It's up for debate right now. You know what I mean? Because
I have a lot
of the DCEU Superman shirts. That's a faux pas to wear.
Yeah.
I have the long sleeve Superman. I can't track down or I haven't rebought the Kingdom Come one, but even that's too dark for this. Okay. I gotta come up with something.
You got like 20 days. You can pick something out good.
29. Yeah, classic bro. Says,
leave a comment. We want to know what.
So remember, of course, what I'm saying there is you can go to kindafunny.com/events. All the links and schedules are up for those panels. panels as well as the meet and greet. Remember, Planet Comic Con requires you to buy a ticket to come in. The Kind of Funny World Tour meet and greet does not. So come on out, hang out with us, and have some fun. Whether you can do the entire day with us or just the end, it doesn't matter. Today, let's thank our Patreon producers for the first time for March, Tom Bach and Blackjack. And then today we're brought to you by Quip and Harry's, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Man, that McGriddle, that just went right to you, huh? That gave you an energy boost you needed over there.
Yeah, boy, let's go.
All right. That number one, boost. Fran. Is Borderlands 3 coming to PAX East? This is from Sean Prescott over at PC Gamer, who reports Gearbox is headed to PAX East later this month, and as is common for the studio, the company is hosting its own panel. According to the event's description on the PAX East website, the studio will have, quote, never before seen reveals, exclusives, and surprises, which is obviously cause for speculation. Will the studio finally show Borderlands 3? It's no secret that the game exists. Gearbox confirmed a third installment at PAX East in 2016, and if you peruse our Everything We Know page on the game, you'll note that its publisher, Take-Two, has repeatedly promised a high-profile 2K Games title for fall 2019, parentheses, which is spring if you're in Australia. Of course, that could be Bioshock, but that seems unlikely. And remember, Gearbox used PAX East as an opportunity to show Duke Nukem Forever off back in 2011. Meanwhile, 90% of Gearbox is working on Borderlands 3. So if you've got your fingers crossed for Duke Nukem Forever 2 or a Battleborn reboot, anticipate disappointment, I guess. The biggest question is how Borderlands 3 will look in this post-Destiny world. How much will Gearbox inherit from the more recent loot shooters? Fran, are you ready?
Exciting.
Are you prepared to believe? Are you letting yourself dream of a Borderlands 3 at PAX East?
This news story highlights two sins in my life. Uh-oh. One, never been to PAX. Never. I was busy at IGN.
Sure. This next part, though, I definitely don't like.
I've never played Borderlands.
Holy shit, dude.
I am the looter guy. And obviously, for many, it was like, how have you not? And I'm like, I know, I'm going to go back to it. And yet,
you're
I
never
go back.
Going back to
Season
it.
Of the Drifter starts Tuesday. I got to get back into my grind on Division and Anthem. And so, I actually do want to play it ahead of it. What I will say is, I'm like of two minds. I do believe this. That's the main spot I'm at with this. I believe that whether or not it's at PAX, I don't know. I do believe there's a very good chance it's coming out this year. Yeah. 2K could use a hit like that.
Sure.
And Gearbox sure could use a hit like that sure. right now. But we also talked about it on Gamescast, and you were like, I don't know. Like, it's been a little weird over at the studio.
Yeah, Gearbox has gone through a lot, right? And I think it's interesting that they are still doing, no, I guess it's not interesting, but you know, with all the Randy stuff that got kerfluffled up,
yeah.
right? And all of a sudden, him fighting, having to fight in the streets with the lawyer, right? Who yep. kind of brought it out. It seems like he's had a bit of a lower profile. Still tweeting, yeah. still doing stuff, but like at DICE this year, I didn't see him around, and I usually run into Randy yeah. a couple times.
Same.
So it was a wonder of, well, will Gearbox still go big? Gearbox always has a big PAX presence, and you always in the main theater, always killing it, always huge. And so I totally slept on this even being a possibility, number one.
So Gearbox does normally have a really good PAX
presence. They usually do a lot of yeah, okay. PAX stuff. Yeah. But I mean, they've been doing that nonstop, and mm-hmm. that's just how the PAX audience
they're used to it.
I don't know. I want to believe. I want to believe.
I can tell
so
you're
bad.
Afraid to say, like, you because you almost don't want to be let down. That's
well,
the
that
sense
thing
I'm
is
getting.
Like, well, the more when I saw the headline, I was like, get the fuck out of here. No.
Yeah.
And then you start reading through, and I'm like, oh, I guess, yeah, 90% of Gearbox is working on it already. Yeah. They have talked about it ahead of time.
What else are they doing?
They
right?
talked about
this.
PAX East 2016, 3 years ago.
Words out of your own mouth, Greg. You were like, this is make or break for them. You're like, Borderlands yeah. needs to come out, and it's so impactful on the studio.
Yeah.
And they need it. And like, honestly, when is the last like content from them really been? It's been a while.
Battleborn.
Now. Yeah, which was bad. Was that the same
time
as Overwatch?
I'm talking about like their own thing, not something they just published.
But
sure
was that around the same time as Overwatch, right? Battleborn
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
even that, you know, you got it. I'm sure at that time it was 30, 50% of the studio already working on Borderlands or whatever.
It makes sense. Sean Prescott from PC Gamer does a good job of laying it out where I go, fuck you in the headline. And then by the end of it, I'm like, God damn, it's probably going to be Borderlands 3.
I don't think it's Bioshock. I think Bioshock is an E3 type reveal.
Yeah.
And I think that it's out there for sure. I just feel like that's more of an E3 thing.
Yeah. Oh, no, totally. I don't.
But like,
so here's my question.
Could go anywhere.
I think it is. Sean Prescott sold me with facts, which is helpful. My question then becomes, Fran, what do you think this looks like in a post-Destiny, post-Anthem, post-Overwatch? Like, remember, I think it's, you know, funny you say, I've never played Borderlands, and people are like, what the hell? How did you not do that? You're Mr. Games of Service, Mr. Looter Shooter.
Yeah.
But at the time, that was such a...
influence.
Breathtaking. Nobody was doing that. It wasn't. Yeah. I remember
they
how
were ahead of the game.
Remember with Borderlands 1, what a weird pitch it was, where it's like you can have unlimited guns. We're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, who'd want this many guns? You know what I mean? It was like such a joke. And then Borderlands 2 took the world by storm and really established what that franchise is.
Yeah.
So much has changed, though, since that, and even since the Handsome Collection or the prequel.
The bigger question for me is what's been going on right now with Destiny and certainly Anthem and all of the stuff we talked about on Gamescast as well. Just games as a service, and how does it become, is it that now? Does it have these monthly hits? And is that, because I don't think Borderlands 2 had that, right? It had DLCs, but that's the traditional model that we've seen.
Right.
I assume that 2K has very heavily been like, all right, how do we do this? And then, do you know, did Borderlands have microtransactions? I don't remember. Yeah. Tell us.
I don't think so. I never remember going to a store. And I'm sure, you know what it was?
They might have added it.
You could buy, kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong for the right terminology. You could buy vault tickets, but they weren't keys or something to open up stuff.
But it wasn't like embedded and ingrained in it as much as it is today.
No, it was nothing like it was today.
If you
never played Borderlands, which I know sounds crazy, but I know that there's so many people who listen to us who just got back into games, who are young people. Borderlands, the hook wasn't, hey, it's this open living world, you're in there with the rest of the world. It was that you had your story, you had your game, and then you could bring in
world, right?
You could bring in three different friends from their thing to play with you as well. And you'd play and you'd kill things, and it would just rain loot, rain different guns, rain all the stuff that you would then go and change and try to, you know.
Yeah, I remember the trailers of literally it was like raining like guns.
And it would eventually give you really hard bosses like that you could go back and rerun and like do all these different things and get different items for.
Yeah, that's actually really good to point out. Like, I know what Borderlands is. I've seen a lot of
Sure. Yeah,
just never played. I'll play before it comes out. Yeah, I played which?
You played on the PlayStation Vita, of course.
Oh, remember of course,
that? The definitive edition. Of the Borderlands definitive 2. Edition.
Yeah, they have a lot of like good, like the Handsome Collection, and all this other stuff.
I mean, Borderlands 2 on PlayStation VR is really well done.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, but where I was going with this is, I didn't even think to make that point, which is like Borderlands is.
Hold on.
The microtransactions.
Yeah. Nanobiologist says for Borderlands 2, you got keys from promotional codes that they gave you free loot in the city. They could be from external purchases or in the game. So, I wasn't saying they were exclusively there, but okay.
But not as much. There's like the store, and so
you could buy them, but you could get them everywhere else. That is correct. But that was the only microtransaction I remember.
But anyway, I guess the short of it is, didn't even think in the back of my mind. I'm like, wait, it wasn't even shared world. It was just a co-op game. You could also play it single player, get tons of loot.
Sure.
Will it be shared world? I mean, I think that's the question I would ask you.
And that's my question.
Do you think that's it, or is it definitively no, they're not going to do that?
I think, fuck, dude. I think,
bleep.
What I think they should, if I was there, and here's the problem too. I'm saying if I was there and I was making this game, keep in mind, if me and the listeners are there right now making this game, we're not making it right now. We're making it 2015, 2016. Where do we start pre-pro on this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Before the industry really, really, really shifted.
Right when Destiny was coming out, they probably were already in pre-production.
So, do we know? Did they change? Did they scrap? Did they do this? I would think if I was doing it now, I would stay true to the Borderlands thing of, guess what, everybody? You have your story. You have your world. You have your characters that you can build out. I can invite you to come and play in my game. We run and do all this stuff. But then I would have it be that there is some portal, some whatever, that opens us up into a larger, hey, here's a whole bunch of quests that are active in this giant world. Not open world, but giant world where we go into and matchmake with other people and leave the game and go do that. Really take what they were already doing with their boss encounters and kind of raidish kind of content and bring it over to what we know now of, like, here's a giant list of content to go out and establish and grind in.
Yeah, and again, like, without the knowledge of how it works, like, maybe it's just more match-made co-op and more of, like, some shared spaces or something. But, I mean, I do think, ultimately, it's a small industry. They had to know, you know, Destiny was coming because that was in development.
But we also had to get this MMO shooter out of here. Nobody's going to care about this shit.
Yeah, nobody knew back then what it was going to be. But Anthem was already in development before Destiny came out. And, like,
is that true? I didn't know that.
It was. Yeah, wow. I remember reading a quote about that because they were very particular. Everybody thinks that they looked at Destiny and then just copied it. And, like, obviously games influence each other.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's where I was going with this is, like, I think that it's a small industry. People are talking about shared world and all this stuff. And Borderlands, like, set the tone. So technically, you'd think that they would be ahead with some of their own ideas. But I think that ultimately, especially Destiny, but even Division now, has influenced it to be
But my problem with that always is that I just don't want it to be a Fallout 4 kind of situation we talked about before where, you know, The Witcher came out and kind of...
You mean Fallout 76?
No.
Oh, you're saying Fallout 4.
I remember how, like, Fallout 4 and Witcher, like, or, well, it was Witcher, right, and then Fallout 4, and it was that thing where Witcher had sat there and learned and iterated and really made this amazing, beautiful, whereas it felt like for Fallout 4, Bethesda had kind of been like, man, Fallout 3 and New Vegas were great, shut the windows and let's make a game. And then they, like, opened the windows, like, hey, here's, oh, fuck, the industry moved by.
Right.
The industry totally passed us by. Because it used to be that, like, remember when we'd play Fallout 3 and there'd be so many problems? And you'd be like, well, the world is just so big, though. Yeah. What do you want? Like,
what do you expect? Like, GTA then the was that way, too.
The Witcher gets there, and you're like, oh, this is stunning and just bigger and almost everything. So. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me is thinking Gearbox could be that type of studio. They're a little more classic in some ways, maybe.
Yeah.
Do they have the windows shut a bit more? But I don't know. It's hard to ignore. I mean, dude, like, that's where I'm going back to. I'm like, everyone in the industry is talking about subscription-based gameplay, unfortunately. A lot of microtransactions, but free-to-play, but also seasonal, annualized content that rolls out. I mean, that's why we have the situation with Anthem, where it's, frankly, they held back content, as far as I can tell, but they want you to feel like you have stuff to do, these stories and installments. So I think that's probably the biggest place I see Borderlands going, though, because it is a little more, right, story and chapters, right? Again, having not played it, but does it
there's
have
story,
that?
There's not, you're not chapter gated. You're getting like, okay. Yeah, it's open areas. You get the quest, go choose the quest you want to go run and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, those are the basics of any game, but like, I do see the potential there, though, you know, of these installments coming. So, yeah, we're just making this stuff up.
I'm looking at Wikipedia, right? So you figure, and I know, again, Borderlands VR, Vita, all these different things, you know, change it up a little bit. But the pre-sequel, right, was announced in 2014. And I guess, yeah, great point to point out that it was done by 2K Australia, right? So really, Borderlands proper by Gearbox hasn't been touched since Borderlands 2, which released in 2012. Now, granted, they did a bunch of different stuff. They released 4 DLC campaigns to continue the game story. There's a whole bunch of different things going on. And then in February 2014, Pitchford had stated the studio was not yet working on the third installment. And then, however, PAX South.
He said they were not working on it in 2014?
Right, and then in 2015, he announced the studio was preparing to begin working on a new one. Da-da-da-da-da on that way. So they've been working on it, and I think the fact that you see, again, 2015 is 2019 now, 4 years. You figure if they were just
getting
making the
then.
Same game, if they were just using the same engine, Borderlands 1 launches in 2009, Borderlands 2 launches in 2012. So that's 3 years there.
Yeah.
I think hopefully you read into the fact that this is taking a little bit longer in the way that maybe they did get going. They did see whatever somebody else is doing, scrap it, learn, change.
It's for a big game, you know, meaning I don't know how long Borderlands took to make, whether it was 3 years or whether it was 4 or 5. But
sure.
These big games do take as much as 4 or 5 years. I mean, that's very common, right? Didn't God of War take like 5 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Big, big games.
Corey's just like, I'm going to go get new glasses.
He's taking his time. He's taking his time.
Stop getting new glasses.
Not stressed at all. We're not working that hard. But they take a long time to make huge games. Like Anthem went through the same thing, right? I think it was either started in 2014 or before, whatever, but it's been a long road. And so, meaning it wouldn't surprise me at all if it started in 2014. I don't know when that quote was, but you can interpret quotes different ways. We're not working on it.
Of course.
Well, that doesn't mean you don't have a bunch of pre-production docs and meetings that you've had about what it's going to be. And so, can
I hope it's real. I hope we get a giant blowout. I hope it is the fall 2019 game. We talked this year about like how many games we really don't know about, right?
Yeah.
When we talk about, I'm excited about these games, but like, is Last of Us really this?
Dude, Fallen Order is a great example. You guys just talked about it on the show yesterday, right?
Where
it's like, it's like, wait, that's right. Andrea stood up at E3 last year and was
she sat down actually.
Yeah. No, didn't she like put a mic in Vince's face?
Yeah, they were sitting next to each other.
So Vince, you got a new thing? He's like, it's going to be Star Wars. It's out next year, but we can't tell you anything. And you're like, what? And then, you know, the point is Respawn, meanwhile, releases Apex in the middle of this, which they'd worked on for 2 years, by the way. Obviously, different type of production. But you're like, wait a second. They have a new Star Wars game coming out this fall. It's crazy to think about how long that has been in development that we didn't know about it. But the point is, you know, something like Borderlands can just drop and be, you know, maybe it's been out there for these 5 years. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Maybe the last thing I'd end on is we get asked a lot of questions, I think. you play Division. I play a lot of Destiny. It's dude, is Anthem the Division killer? You know, is Anthem the Destiny killer? Is Destiny the Anthem killer?
Stop. Mr. Games of Service, Fran Mirabella.
Yeah.
I feel like Division's never gotten the respect it's deserved. Has anybody actually been like, is Anthem the Division killer? Is anybody, nobody's thinking about the Division, and that's why we're, we're getting them on March 15th, everybody. Catching them off guard. Pa, pa, pa.
You're right about it. But that's how I think about it. Okay. People do ask me that, though. About Anthem, they said, is Anthem the Destiny killer?
That one heard many a time.
Are you going to quit Destiny? Ironically, last night on stream, I was trying to install the update for Anthem.
Yeah.
And I ran out of hard drive space because the way it's 50 gigs. And I think it had to put 50 gigs on top of, anyway, without getting to the old TurboTax and PC tech.
This is on your PC.
On my PC.
Well, then I'm going to pull an Audible here, and I am going to insert a deal of the day. Wario 64 is a great deal for PC gamers. H&R Block Tax Software Deluxe in State 2018 with free COD Black Ops 4 is $44.99 at Newegg, you fucking dorks.
Did you just say that H&R Block is giving you TurboTax? And what'd you say?
Wario 64 has a deal for PC gamers. H&R Block Tax Software Deluxe plus State 2018 with free Call of Duty Black Ops 4 on PS4 or Xbox One for $44.99 at Newegg with code EMCTWTU48, you dorks.
I love that they're giving away a video game with your taxes, whatever. Maybe you can write it off too, but now I lost a train of thought. I was just going to say, anyway, I actually uninstalled Destiny on stream because I ran out of space. And so everybody's like, you're doing it. You're quitting it.
You
for
tore off that Destiny shirt you were wearing. No, like Hogan.
I did not uninstall to not play. I had to just fix my hard drive. But anyway, will Borderlands take down these other games? I was just going to say that.
I think it's a compliment. I will be shocked. And I know I eat my words all the time. Yeah. But if I don't.
That's our job.
I mean, God, it'll be really surprising to me if Borderlands 3 is, or whatever this next Borderlands is, if it is, Borderlands 3 is what we're calling it in this article. If this thing is a shared world, you're always playing, you're always online, there's always an update. I just don't feel like that's what they'd want to do.
Either way, it's a looter shooter, though, you know, sure. And it does potentially, we don't know Bungie's plans, but normally they release in September. But they just got released from Activision. Yeah. They actually just released a Season of Drifter trailer yesterday. And if you listen closely, they actually tell you they wanted to comment on it. They said, we're free from Activision. This is reading between the lines. And they said, we want to be a quick reacting live service or live game. Sorry, quick reacting live game. That was the quote. And I was like, they're really setting the stage for, I think, a piece of what they've been doing now, but the seasonal, I don't know if it's going to be $30 every 3 months or who knows.
Yeah.
But the point is, potentially, Borderlands going up against that. I don't know any other games that'll be out then that are like that, assuming it happens.
Sure, yeah.
They might take time off, and maybe they're not till next April. But Borderlands, my point is, maybe doesn't have much competition other than Destiny, because we'll be powering through, you know, late game content in Division and
right,
Anthem
right, right.
Whatever,
well, they're going to keep updating the Division. Don't you worry.
It's a good spot when for them.
I'll just start deleting the rest of your games now, because once the Division gets here, Fran, we don't need anything
else. I'm ready,
else.
Dude. We're playing.
We're in, buddy. We're in. Yeah. You doing the beta this weekend? You going to screw around in there?
Once I saw there's collectibles, I was like, I better do it.
You put that on there? You mentioned this. There's something new you said they updated for the Division?
I have it all right here, assuming my page is still open. The big new thing. So the Division open beta, I think it's open beta, is out now.
It is the open beta.
And so what they've added versus the private beta was, obviously they tried to squash a lot of bugs, but instead of it being to level 7, you can get to level 8. Also, character progression in private is not carried over. They added the chem launcher skill. Capital Ruins is now available in Skirmish, and they opened Viewpoint Museum mission, so there's a new mission to play.
Gotcha.
So there's definitely new stuff to play if you were in the private beta, and you can get one more level cap out of it.
Yeah, but it drives me crazy because I want to play so much of it, and I will,
yeah.
But I also just want the real game. I don't want my progress not to go anywhere.
You know, I'm the Frantha man. It just can't get away from it. But I have to reflect on that, and I was like, honestly, I played like 40 hours or something of those open demos. It got to the point where I ended up playing, unfortunately, like a huge piece of Anthem, and it did take some of the air out.
Sure.
And so I hear
happens
you on that.
That happens to us all the time, right? Where we go do a preview event, and you're like, you're going to get to play the first 3 hours of the game. You're like, awesome. And then when you get the real game, you're like, all right, got to get through these 3 hours that I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we had that discussion about the DMC demo, I think, oddly enough, on Gamescast. And Tim was like, do you try it? And I was like, honestly, like, I kind of just want to wait to play the whole thing.
But this one, they do a good job with this Division stuff, right? Because I do want, what is it? I can get backpack bling or whatever.
What is the stuff that you get? I got it right here. If my phone is behaving, we get out of this. Wait a minute. I thought that I, what do you earn? I'll find it.
Don't worry about it. You got all show to look at it.
Yeah.
While you do that, I'm going to talk about another story. How about that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two on the Roper Report, Apex Legends leaked last year, but no one cared. This is from Adam Bankhurst over at IGN, a friend of the show. Apex Legends, specifically its map, was leaked last year, but no one noticed. As reported by PC Gamer, a Reddit user under the name Hit Iconic posted a thread titled, quote, alleged minimap for rumored Titanfall Battle Royale game 11 months ago, and it garnered 14 comments. Some excited about the idea of a Titanfall Battle Royale game, and others calling the map a fake. Well, as it turns out, that was in fact the map of Apex Legends from Titanfall developers Respawn Entertainment, albeit changed slightly. Yesterday, Reddit user Fumbles22 brought up the leak that went mostly ignored for almost a year, user's thread is now sitting at 57,000 upvotes and over 1,600 comments. Hit Iconic appeared in the thread and jokingly said, I'll take my upvotes now. And asked everyone to stop giving him Reddit gold as he doesn't need it. He currently has been given Reddit gold 16 times. There were some users in the new thread that called this a conspiracy and that Respawn Entertainment had leaked it themselves. In response, Respawn community manager JFresh_Respawn commented and said that he remembered the post and that, quote, it was a relief to see folks blow it off. And I was thinking, well, he'll be able to say I was right when the next year comes along.
Yep.
End quote.
I found this really interesting because normally when a story is out like that, somebody's going to pick it up. Mm. And like, you know, when you work at an outlet like IGN or Polygon or Kotaku, you kind of might roll your eyes. You'd be like, I have no idea who this person is. It looks fake.
Right.
This sounds fake.
Right.
But normally, like, there's some follow-up. So meaning, I guess, one of two things happened. Nobody heard about it. Goldfarb didn't hear about it.
Well, no, I mean, 14 comments on this
Jason
thing, right?
Jason Schreier didn't hear about it. All the above. And so I guess it just never got enough traction, which is
crazy.
But
I mean, think about it. I don't think it's that crazy, right? Because if it was 11 months ago, it's basically a year ago, right? Now, granted, Fortnite's killing at that time, but Titanfall isn't. Like, is Titanfall...
No, yeah.
Are you going to click through on a Titanfall headline?
Titanfall Battle Royale. Exactly. It kind of strikes you as like, I don't know, whatever.
Even yesterday, right, when Tim was... this week when Tim was talking about the new Pokemon Sword and Shield, right? He brought up a couple different posts of people who had leaked it weeks ago, if not months ago, right? And that never made it to the mainstream because that shit happens every day.
Yeah.
And so it's like... You can't sit there and bite on it and be like, oh my God, this is what we're going for. And everybody's leaking everything. So, you know, today in patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for one of the questions, somebody wrote in about this trusted leaker being like, Persona's coming to Switch this fall. And like backing away. And it's like, well, we've all heard and hoped that and said that. I don't know. I'm not going to toss that in the news or a question. Like, I hope that happens, but that happens every day where somebody says something.
Yeah, this is the honest problem with this stuff. It is very easy to make a rumor and make it look legitimate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, before I ever got a job at IGN, I was reporting on old Project Dolphin.
Yeah, well, there you are.
The GameCube before for old Dolphin Cove. But anyway, there was like these gossip sites, I would call them, and they legitimately were making stuff up to get traffic.
Oh, sure.
But they, of course, would mix in any of the legitimate stuff that IGN or anyone else was reporting. And so it got confusing, but some people pick it up, some don't. But it's very easy to make a mistake.
We remember the old days of Sushi X and like EGM, right?
Oh yeah, but that's more legitimate, obviously.
Well, like, sure, it was. Now that I'm on the inside, right, I can totally see how that works. Of like all the shit I know that I can't talk about,
yes.
It'd be like, you know what? I'm going to put two of those in and come up with three or four other fake ones, and just be like, here's some rumors I heard.
Yeah.
So at least Sushi X is right about something.
Yeah. And actually, that creating those characters in the mags, and then actually like over at IGN 64, right, Ed the janitor. Was kind of smart because part of it was just fun and entertaining. Mm. And you would like throw in like some like guesswork made up stuff, but you would put between the lines sometimes like an actual rumor.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But I did find it really interesting that it was out there and
this story in particular is that they have an actual comment from Respawn.
Yeah.
Like the community manager popping in of like,
yeah, Jay.
That's such a cool thing of like, now that it's all done and it didn't fucking blow up and ruin the entire marketing campaign, it's awesome to be like, yeah, he totally nailed this. I'd also, if I was Jay, be like, hey, how the fuck did you nail us? Who are you? Can you reveal who you are? How did you get the Titanfall map?
That's what was really weird is this person, I think, is obviously getting some gold because they're like, tell us more now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do they get the information? I'm just going to throw it out there. I think it's Jay.
You think it is Jay? It was a conspiracy.
I used to work with Jay. He was at 1UP, right, in IGN for a while when they were over there. But shout out
Who's
to Jay.
What's
Jay Fischetti? You never worked with him?
I don't know. Well, I might. No, I wasn't.
I hope I'm pronouncing your name right.
When we took over IGN? When we took over 1UP. Yes. Yeah, I was there for that, yeah.
Yeah, he was at 1UP. It's funny that I've worked with so many people, like GameSpy, but everybody at IG, right, we all sat in the pit. You would start to lose, it's Jay, yeah.
Well, I want to see a picture of Jay, that's all I'm saying.
I might be crazy because I've been doing this. No, of course, it is. Yeah, he used to work in 1UP. So we're going to pull that. But the other thing that I would share, when you look that up, is I was at, of course, as you know, we went on behalf of Kind of Funny to the reveal event. And that...
I don't remember, Jay. I don't know if I ever met Jay.
That was...
When we brought in 1UP, yeah. We didn't want to talk to 1UP, and 1UP didn't want to talk to us.
I don't know if that's what
that's 100%
was.
True.
It felt weird.
It was totally like you put a bunch of cats together. And it took a long time for people to be like, all right, you're a cool cat, too.
It pretty much was. But I was going to say, I was at the event, and... That was the big thing, obviously. When they first told us about it, they wouldn't even say what it was. They just said, come down for a new game from them.
Right, yeah, it was a new IP. Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know what that meant, you know? And I was like, all right. Then as we got closer, we got a little more detail. But then they waited and put it in the theater and revealed it. And they had pretty much said, like, we were pleased, you know, no phones. They had the people on the sidelines. Like, even though it was a very limited amount of press, yeah, like, they had the snipers on the side to make sure that nothing was leaked. Unfortunately, as we saw, they had a couple events. They had press and YouTubers. There was enough people that, unfortunately, after it did leak, that, remember, the news actually leaked, like, a week before. And even then, people, it's funny that nobody found it then even. It's just you couldn't even search it, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
But,
well, I mean, you know, Hit Iconic didn't want his credit. He didn't want to come out of the side and be like, hey, everybody, I fucking called this.
By the way, that brings up a really interesting, we just are onto something, Greg.
What are we doing?
Not that I want to discourage this type of behavior because, you know, you love a good leak.
Yeah.
You got to wonder if this person works there because, like, after it was leaked, you'd think, why wouldn't this person come back and be like, I told you. Like, why?
Mm. He dodged
Seriously.
The ball, too. They dodged the ball,
like,
too.
If you're in the, first of all, if you're in the press and in the news, if it's you.
Yeah, it's me.
And you, let's just say you have another account and it was you.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you come back and you'd be like, eh?
Eh?
But you never bubbled it up again. So where do you work in the industry that after you were right, you never came back for it? Like, in other words, who would you speculate? I would speculate it's someone in on development.
Oh, I would. I mean, if you have the map of the game or whatever, I would think, you totally work for a Respawn. But I don't think it was like a Respawn conspiracy. I just think you.
We know that they worked with a lot of testers. So, and
that's the other thing. Testers leak shit all the time.
I'm not stereotyping, but potentially that's
I am. They're all dirtbags.
But
thank you.
It doesn't matter, but I find it always really interesting is how.
Good
like,
people, you know.
Where are your sources? How do you get the map, all that? It's really interesting to see how leaks happen and how dangerous it is, by the way.
I'm just saying somebody needs to bring back the Sushi X / the Jan. Right now, let me think. In the industry, only IGN does it with Joe Screbbles, which is a made-up name and a random person just reporting or whatever. Number three, what's it like to work at Nintendo? Well, at ZHugeEX, that's right. Daniel Ahmad, analyst at Nico Partners, was reading the Nintendo Japanese site and put up this interesting Twitter thing that was translated. Not sure if it's new info, but notice that after the update on the Nintendo NCL recruitment page, stats for Japan only. Number of employees, 2,271. Average age, 38.6. Average length of employment at Nintendo Japan, 13.5 years. Average workday, 7 hours, 45 minutes. And then the average annual salary, $80,000. Hmm. Huh. Nice little. Maybe that might be yen, but I bet Daniel, of course, friend of the show now.
You got to remember that if they're including, like, you know, Furukawa, the president and all.
Sure.
They make a lot of money.
Well, that's how the averages work out. You're like, oh, an average workday is 7 hours, 45 minutes. That means somebody's working like 13 hours.
I think expected. The thing that struck me was the average age.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's people younger than that are bringing it down. People much older. But I perceive NCL in particular as, you still do, right? You think about
what
the
does
older
NCL stand for?
Nintendo Corporation Limited or something. Wow, I shouldn't really remember.
No, that makes sense.
NCL
is
just like, that is NCL.
Gotcha.
But it's Nintendo proper. But I think of it a lot, of course, as Miyamoto and the people that were above him. But it really has changed so much. Reggie just leaving. And so.
Well, he's not Japan, right? So that wouldn't count.
No.
Yeah.
No, but meaning in general, I'm just saying that they've changed as a chemistry. But
You
think back to Yamauchi, the president that was in the 90s and very early 2000s before he handed it over. And that guy, we always made fun of IGN, rest in peace, but always made fun that. No, okay, it's a long time later.
We always made fun of this guy. Rest in peace.
So we had a running joke at IGN, Matt Casmasina in particular. Shout out to him for creating this character. But you remember the guy in Big Trouble Little China? It's definitely like a little.
I watched it super young. I don't remember that.
You
at
don't
all.
Remember? It was like
I remember Kurt Russell,
the blood of a green-eyed girl, and he shot like laser beams out of his eyes. But yeah. Anyway. That was my image of the
because he was NCAA, the president
so
at the time was old
and ancient gods of like the industry, and that's where I was going with
gotcha.
This. That was my perception for so long. So it's really good to see, and actually on some of the Nintendo Directs and stuff, seeing the not that you can't be older and make games. I'm not saying that, by the way. It's just
I am.
It's nice.
Get out. You know what I mean?
It's nice to see that like in the 30s, like our age, basically,
sure.
is a lot of folks there. So
okay. And finally, rounding out the Roper Report for this Friday, number 4, Riot has a new chief diversity officer. This is from James Batchelor of GamesIndustry.biz. Riot Games has hired its first ever chief diversity officer to aid the company's ongoing efforts to address cultural issues behind the scenes. Angela Roseborough is the first person to take on this role and joins from Dropbox, where she was global head of diversity, equity, and inclusion. She brings more than 20 years' experience, much of which has been in leadership roles in consulting and finance. In its announcement post, Riot Games described this as a, quote, major milestone for our company and our work to make Riot the most inclusive company in gaming, end quote. Last year, an expose revealed a toxic environment and bro culture at Riot Games, with employees discussing numerous incidents of sexism and sexual harassment at the studio. It also faces a class action lawsuit for discrimination and harassment. The studio has been trying to reform its company culture since the report was first published. It outlined a plan to combat the sexism, gender discrimination, and other forms of toxicity, and last month updated its company values as, quote, a guide for who we want to be. Riot has hired former Uber executive Francis Frey to assist in these rehabilitation efforts, with Roseborough the latest to join the team for this purpose. Reporting to Chief People Officer Emily Winkle, Roseborough will oversee all activity relating to diversity and inclusion, lead the recruiting team and improve their process, and create new programs to foster a more inclusive culture at Riot. So, hey. Positive movement.
It is. First of all, it can be a very tough job because you have to like get people have their head down and are, who knows, like they're just working, but also they're doing stuff that maybe they're not even thinking about, or maybe they're just inappropriate.
Sure.
So you got to get in there and like, how do you get people up out of their seats thinking actively about this stuff? I mean, there's a lot of ways I've witnessed it, you know, that companies think about this stuff, and it's a tough job, but it's smart. And for Riot having as much, I'd say, cash flow as they must have, like, yeah, I think you should spend a lot of time on stuff like this. So good to see. I totally missed the news last year about that stuff, that they had those issues. I totally did.
So right now you missed that news.
About like
this is the first time you've heard about this?
Yeah, I totally.
Where the fuck
like,
were you last year? It was one of the biggest stories. What about the Vic Lucas documentary thing that blew up in the Escapist face? Did you hear about this?
No.
Jesus Christ.
That's what.
Okay. You have a lunch. I'm going to come out with this like giant tome of information you need to know on this story.
This is why I'm enjoying 2019 so much. I spent so much time with my head down at IGN, you know, working on videos of planning E3,
sure.
like hiring people. And then I'd go home, right? And like, boom, back to Destiny, back to stream, whatever. I'm going to play other games of Destiny. But the point is, very head down. It was hard for me to catch a breath. And dude, I'm having so much fun checking out the news, being part of the news, and I've been more on top of it this year, so it's been awesome.
Blackjack writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Fran, what's good? Fran, you gave a very thoughtful and in-depth, why? What is this hair? Get out of here. In-depth, no, it's not yours.
It's not
a review of Anthem, twice. Don't let anyone give you shit about it. It was awesome. Fran, how do you plan to balance playing 3 live service games at the same time? Anthem, The Division 2, and whatever the heck the new content is for Destiny. Greg, you're planning to jump into the deep end of The Division 2. How do you think it'll affect your ability to play new releases? Live service games seem like a massive commitment, and you're both very busy. Keep up the good work, Blackjack.
Let me give you a little advice. Quit your jobs. That's how you're going to keep up with these games.
I got to quit.
You got to quit your job. Exactly. Sorry, Greg. It's my last show as well. No. Look, it is impossible to keep up with the grind. We talked about this.
But you do it better than any of us. This is what we're talking about yesterday on Gamescast, where Andrea's like, I wish I was better. I love Destiny, but I have to be this mid-tier Destiny player because I can't commit like you do, Fran.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where I've found the time to even keep up with Destiny, but even then, man, I pale in comparison to some of these people out there, and they have families and full-time jobs, and honestly,
they play that one game, right?
They're grinding. Yeah. I mean, again, you have to balance your life out, and you know, whether you're not going to the gym or you're not doing this or that.
That's like, what I gave up, everybody. But, that's why I look like this. I do it for you.
Then you look fantastic, Greg. Shut up. Especially with that hot dog.
Mm. With his
the hot dogs. You guys may not notice he's wearing a Chicago dog.
Oh no, they know. They've noticed.
This shirt is famous.
This eyesore of a Portillo's item that I love. It doesn't get enough credit.
But the serious answer is, and I offered it on Gamescast as well, you cannot stress yourself out thinking that you're going to be able to keep up with everything, but you do got to choose. And so that doesn't mean that you're not going to play other stuff, but like this happened to us probably with Division, right?
Oh, sure.
We played quite a bit, but we were not true end gamers. We were not there with all the drops. We don't have all the back bling and, you know, all that stuff. It's not called back bling, by the way. That's a Fortnite thing. But you got to make a choice. And I stick with Destiny. I am a big Destiny player. Anthem, I think, I don't want this to sound the wrong way. Thankfully for me, for a time, I'm like, it doesn't look like it's going to be so much content that I got to like keep like grinding. Division is a little scary.
That's why I'm giving myself over to the Division as a sacrifice.
See, you made your choice.
Yeah, well, totally.
Sacrifice the Julian.
That, I mean, to your for me, Blackjack, for me, it's going to be, I feel that that's what I will just play. I mean, I'm lucky enough, and I said this on Gamescast, that really I don't see a big, kind of funny, I'll open it up for you're wrong here. For a Greg Miller-ass game, I don't see anything on the horizon to derail me from March 15th until Days Gone.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say, you're done with Assassin's
April
Creed.
April 26th.
That was your big derailment,
There's still a lot of shit to play in Assassin's Creed, and I love it. I'm still playing it. But I'm saying that, like, I feel like even when something comes along like an Ape Out that I'm playing right now or a Tetris 99 that drops, I'm going to be able to stop for a night or two, play that, come back to Division and do this stuff. And again, it's that other thing of, I want to be so hooked in the Division that for the first time since DC Universe Online, I become a true end gamer. Because that was, you know, 900 hours in DC Universe Online, right? And like that was when I was raiding and chasing gear and making spreadsheets and shit.
Yeah.
I hope the Division grabs me in that way that for a month I am doing that. A month and a half I am doing that.
Yeah, I think right now you're right. The good news is there's not a ton of those distractions, but got E3 to plan. You got a show to play.
That is the thing. Is like I have the Division weekend marked, right? And then it's the next weekend. It might be one more in between.
Yeah, but kind of funny.
But we're going to Kind of Funny World Tour, and I'm going to just fucking pack the PS4. Yeah, and I remember when I made fun of Destin Legarry for doing that when the first Destiny dropped. We went out to some event. I think it was PAX East.
He went to his hotel.
And he brought it. I was like, he's like, all right, well, I'll see you at the party. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, well, there's this guy who sells exotic equipment, and I have to go. I'm like, you fucking loser.
I got
to
go see Zer. And now I love I'm like,
what back bling are they putting in Division 2? I'm all over it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But now, man, you just got to make a choice, but also don't stretch yourself out. But lastly, I would offer, you shouldn't feel bad if you don't hit all this endgame stuff. Like, I think there's a pressure on people that if I'm going to play this game, I got to play it all now. Like, I loved playing Division as much as I played of it. We hopped in a couple updates. You don't have to play all the endgame stuff. Same with Destiny, right? Andrea does the same thing. She loves it. Yeah. Can't keep up. You shouldn't beat yourself up about it.
I'm hoping that, I'm hoping Division 2 will be, I say hope because I'm not going to force it. I hope that it'll be my Destiny 2, like for you, or what was my DC Universe Online, where I do play hard for a while, then drop off, then come back for the new content and play really hard and, like, you know, get back to where I need to be.
You got that Apex Battle Pass coming out, too.
I do not worry about the Apex Battle Pass.
You're not an Apex,
I respect and love what they did, but I'm not drawn to that.
Oh, okay.
I mean?
I thought for some reason, like, you like Apex, but you're not like, you're not.
I played one match of it and I was like, this is a really great game, and I'm too tired to learn it right now. And I never went back.
Dude, I got
to. Because then Anthem came and I was like, this is the Anthem. Tell all your friends up. Time to see what's coming to mom and grop shops. But before I do, I'm going to tell you about our advertisers. Today we got Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. We love Quip toothbrushes here. Kind of funny. Almost said IGN. Why? Because we didn't know we should be brushing for 2 minutes every time, but Quip's built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help keep your mouth clean evenly. I've been reading this ad all week. I've been saying about how I bought my own Quip after reading the other ads for Quip so much. I kid you not, and I'm not looking at the paper, I'm telling you heart to heart from Greg Miller. I literally, every morning now when I finish brushing, I'm like, damn, my teeth do look better. Yeah. Because again, the thing is like, no, don't stop brushing. You should be brushing longer than you think you should be. I'm like, yeah, all right, great. The multi-use cover works as a stand. It mounts to mirrors. It slides over the bristles so you can pack and protect your Quip on the go. There's no clunky charger. It runs for 3 months on a single charge. And brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. A friendly reminder when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health. That's why we love Quip and why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's getquip.com/games for your first refill pack for free. Now, it's time for Harry's. Let's talk about shaving. Harry's founders were tired of paying up for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. They knew a great shave doesn't come from gimmicks like vibrating heads, flex balls, or handles that look like spaceships. Tactics that the leading brand has been using for decades. They found that by combining a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price, they've blown up. Tim uses them. He loves trimming that trademark Tim Tam beard with Harry's and getting the blades delivered to his door. Join the 10 million who tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/gamesdaily. Harry's replacement cartridges are just $2 each. That's half the price of a Gillette Pro Fusion Shield blade. All Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a refund. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, like the weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and that travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/gamesdaily. Make sure you go to Harry's, harrys.com/gamesdaily to redeem your offer and let them know Tim Tam sent you. Fran, I can't wait to see everybody at these meet and greets clean shaven, looking as smooth as a baby's bottom. But I gotta wait so long. If I wanted something more immediate, like say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Railway Empire is getting Germany DLC. Yeah. This is on PS4, PC, and Xbox One. Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove is on PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. Toe Jam and Earl, that do anything for you?
Now, I never really got into it, but I appreciate the nostalgia.
It's interesting. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Of being a Genesis kid, I played it, but never really. I don't like, oh, man, I love Toe Jam. And I haven't heard a lot of like, oh, man, we're really excited about Toe Jam.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has found. It's just like it's not like in the current, you know, sure. culture. But I'm excited that it's still out there, you know.
Yeah, I've been saying that's the Destiny killer. Destiny
killer.
That's the
big Destiny. That's the Division
killer. Awesome P comes to PS4, PlayStation Vita. It lives. Xbox One and Switch. Creepy Road comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Dead or Alive 6 comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Swords and Soldiers 2, Shawarmageddon comes to Switch.
Shawarmageddon
comes to Switch. Treasure Stack comes to Xbox, PC, and Switch. Doom and Destiny comes to PlayStation 4, which is, man, that's a title that's, hey, I'm searching for Doom, I'm searching for Destiny. Oh, I can get them in one pack? Great.
That's actually what it is.
Crash right? Dummy comes to PlayStation 4. Dawn of Man comes to PC. Summer Funland comes to PlayStation VR. Story of the Green Dragon comes to PC and Mac. Objects in Space comes to Steam. Warframe's Night Wave update is out. It actually came yesterday, but I missed it. And then from GameSpot, Kevin reports, not Kevin Coelho, their Kevin says, Nintendo is releasing a new set of playable characters for Mario Tennis Aces. Beginning today, March 1st, the mayor of New Donk City, Pauline, is making her debut in the Switch tennis game, while two other classics will join later on. As with previous DLC characters, players can unlock Pauline by playing at least one match in the game's online tournament mode this month, while everyone else be automatically get her on April 1st. And then heads up, the Division beta is out. New dates for you. Pirates Outlaws is hitting iOS and Android Wednesday, March 6th.
Tight.
Let's see what we got for reader mail. Kevin just came in and did the Andrea thing where he tapped his watch.
Yeah, I don't like.
He's got screencast. I don't know. Like, why does attitude. He need screencast at 11 so much? You know what I mean? Yeah. What's he doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's his problem? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what this kid
is.
We gave him one show and now I gotta, you know, is a regret.
What's that thing you do in
what's
politics?
Wrong? What's wrong, Kev? Huh? What's wrong, Kev?
He's all worried about the time. Greg, what's that thing you do in politics where you take so much time?
Filibust.
Yeah,
we're filibusting
bust
now.
You've been filibusted.
No, talk on the mic. Talk on the mic. Because then you could be in. You could have another emo. Are they throwing up the 11:45 like they did for Andrea back in the day?
Remember when Jared?
Throw up the 11:45. I was saying, remember when Jared and Gary were talking about how like they were being rushed and stuff? Remember how great that was? Remember.
Yeah, but everybody gets it now. And then they're just gonna hate you.
You're making it worse.
No, I don't care. I was coming over here to say good job with the story.
Oh, thank you. We're having a really good show.
How you say?
We're having a really good show. You know what I mean?
Fran.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
Wow, I thought you were going to say...
I don't know where I was going to go.
I thought you were going to do a mustache thing.
Fran, we've been talking about these, their games as services and Division 2 and all that. Let's talk to Cranon, who wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I'm currently sitting at work thinking about the open beta for the Division 2 and wondering about character creation. In an interview back in June around E3, creative director of the Division 2 and friend of the show, Julian Garrity, was asked about character creation. He had this to say. Quote, now that's one thing I'm passionate about. You know, real choices for me is how my player looks. It's not about the good and evil choices you make in games. So one of the things that was also a big advantage about having a summer season was that it allowed for different looks. So personalization, we're going to push that much further, end quote. I'm really hoping for a lot of different body types and hairstyles without making it too tedious to create a character that is unique to me. My question to you is this. What are the important creation options for you, and what games that you've played have better character creation in your opinion? Now, you played the closed Division beta, yes? No?
Yes, and they're really, it was all like sort of prepackaged.
That was my thing. I got to the event that was the closed beta thing late, so I was just dropped in. Did you get in the closed beta? Did you get to create a character or no?
Not really. I mean, you could choose from a couple. I think it was a randomization thing. So that's what I was wondering. Can you actually? Do you know?
I don't know. Here's the thing: as big as a Division 2 fan is, or as much as I'm looking forward to the Division 2, being a Division 1 fan, I've really tried to stay away from most of the trailers they're dropping because I just want to get in there and experience the game.
Yes.
So. When for customization, I don't know 100%, and they put out a million trailers. Do me a favor, if there is a trailer about customization already because they put out so many, please put it. Link me in kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong.
I don't know that they've.
I've stayed away from it, but what I'm taking away from it, right, where Julian's talking about how that's really big to us, is kind of what they were talking about yesterday with their notes, right, Fran, where they were talking about like. There's going to be all these different outfits and unlocks. You can unlock them in the game, or you can buy them with real money.
Yes.
And so I wonder if that's what they're leaning. He's talking about summer being a chance to customize more. I think he's talking about it can be a tank top, a t-shirt, a long sleeve shirt. I don't know if he's talking about different body types, face types, all that jazz. What do you got for me, Franny?
Thank you, Google. Found a quote, February 8th, 2019, at 4 a.m. You will be able to fully customize your character in the final version of the game. So they didn't say anything beyond that. This was in response to someone asking, why character randomizer in the beta, the private, right?
Yeah.
All the time I get this, you don't have... whatever, the rest didn't make sense. But they basically...
none of this else makes sense, but whatever.
But the point is, they're sort of saying there's not enough private beta, and Division, the official account on Twitter, came back and said you will be able to fully customize. We don't know. But here's what I would offer up that I don't think people think a lot about in these games. You see so much of the back of your character.
Right.
It's a lot of what other players see, too. Very rarely do you stand...
Characters, you see each other face to face. Remember, and don't lie. How many times in Division 1 did you and I meet up and you'd be like, oh, man, I'd be like, what's that gun? Oh, this is
jumping jacks.
Yeah, jumping jacks. A lot of jumping jacks out
there.
Tons
of jumping jacks.
And then, you know, that's how...
But anyway, I was just going to say, I think it is super important to remember that hopefully back of your head, stuff that's on your back, obviously the guns, really defines a big piece of who you are. But outside of that, I think we are going to get, hopefully, full skin tone, full facial hair.
Oh, that I expect. I mean, there was a lot of good facial hair options and stuff like that. But I just don't think it's going to be like a body slider to make yourself either fat, this, that, or the other. I think you're going to have different body sizes and then be able to fuck with faces a little bit more than we could before.
Yeah, they say
and I did miss that in Division 1, you know what I mean?
Look forward to it.
What is one of the games that's doing character creation right for you, Fran Mirabella?
Man, honestly, off the top of my head, I couldn't point to one recently.
Damn, son. That's harsh.
Well, I mean, I'm not playing anything right now where I've like... let me think about answering. Like, I'm trying to think, where have I really enjoyed... I don't know.
Can you for a moment bring attention to how like lame Anthems is?
Yeah.
It's like, you're...
Oh, yeah.
Evan, your mic's not on, sorry.
He's saying Anthem is lame.
Yeah.
Because of the character customization.
It's still not on, dude, sorry.
He's just basically saying that you customize
he's
pre-chosen
face. He's trying to mess with me.
Oh,
don't,
really?
Don't give... All right. Don't give him the fire.
We're filibusting.
I was just saying, I didn't hear what he said.
Got you, dude.
Sam, we're filibusting.
Got you dead
what
to
right. Say?
We're filibusting.
Just saying the time's ticking.
No, I'm in on this filibuster. I don't want to do the show.
Goodbye.
Yeah, Anthem, I don't even... Why do they even let me create my character in my face? Am I eventually going to slide it off? Because I haven't in any cutscene ever.
I believe it was in the game. They pulled back on it because it wasn't working right. They closed up your... Because the Javelin face mask comes up. There's a bug for people where it was open. You see it in cutscenes, but then you never really see it in the game. So I actually think they pulled back on it and it was like bugged or whatever. And they're just like, forget it. Because like you go through all these cutscenes and you're just like nodding. I wonder if your character was supposed to like,
Remember me.
But I do think down the road we're going to see the face that you created. So anyway.
I don't feel like I created that face, right?
Yeah, it was presets.
Hella faces that all look...
Here's faces and hair. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, you chose from like gender and then a selection of like 15 faces. So,
in the you're wrong, which shouldn't go, but he's right all the time. I'll just do it. Nanobiologist says Saints Row 3 and 4 had great body customization where you have a slider for every item on the body. This was also present in Monster Hunter World.
Yeah. Division was pretty good, though. It already was pretty good.
It wasn't great. It was good, okay. But it wasn't great. And there wasn't enough hairstyles, and then you couldn't change it afterwards. That was another thing.
Yeah, I don't like that. I always stuck with that hair, right? Change that. Mm-hmm.
Fran, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you goes to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read here, the best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun together. Today, Dylan needs help on PC. His PC username is Flynn Reaper.
On Uplay.
It's and I'm not even gonna do it. Just Flynn do Reaper. It. There's a three in there. Guess where it is.
F L Y N N. Isn't that like in Tron? F L Y N N R E A P 3 R. It's Flynn Reaper with a three. Everybody knows that.
Just
means.
Saying. Whatever. YouTube description if you need it. I just bought Rainbow Six Siege on Uplay and am looking for a squad to play with. Anyone I have run into are assholes and give me so much shit for not being the best at mouse and keyboard. Just made the leap to PC.
PC race.
If you want to be a fucking quitter like Flynn Reaper and quit on consoles and go to PC your taxes.
He's going
to
be good at terrible tax.
Play some Minesweeper.
And he's going to get that free copy of Call of Duty 4 with it. H&R Block.
That's squad up. Go squad up. Fran, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
Ready for it.
We're dropping them in as we went. Lord of Pwn points out, though, you could not buy golden keys directly in Borderlands 2. They were given away through other means, so that's how you get
them. They're a promo code, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, they put them up on like Twitch or Twitter and stuff like that. I'm sure they gave them away. There was no purchase necessarily, though.
Gotcha.
And that's the only one.
Good.
Yeah.
Good show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. It's a brand new month. A brand new link is up for you to go use to get your questions into that bronze tier. Remember, if you want to support us at the silver tier, you can get the show ad-free as a video and MP3. However, if you got no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. You can watch us record it live, twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames or roosterteeth.com. And of course, you can download it on podcast services around the globe. Remember, the Kinda Funny World Tour is coming to Kansas City March 30th. We will be doing the Planet Comic Con thing. I will be talking to all my supermen. I'm very excited. Very excited. The host rundown for next week, as of now, which is always subject to change, is the way it's supposed to be. It's me every day with Andrea on Monday, Tim Tuesday, Widow Wednesday, Thursday Andrea, Friday Tim. But you know that Andrea is the busiest lady in the business.
You never know where
Tim
she's going to be.
Has a problem. You know what I mean? I don't want to bring it up, but like he's just all the time.
Trap door. He's just not here today.
Exactly. You never know. I think he's on screencast next. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, go this weekend. Watch Fran stream games, twitch.tv/FM3_. Play the Division beta and just, you know, be better to each other. It's been our pleasure to serve you. Bye.